Oh, yes, that's so much better.
So excited that that works. I'm so excited that that works. I'm so excited about being so excited about being so excited.
And there's our intro. Yes, Sarah's excited.
Woohoo! Breaking news. Okay, anyway. Hi, Gary. How are you?
Yeah, good.
Are you so excited to be so excited?
I can't even say it. There we go with that lip dysfunction again.
Well, I am very happy to see you again.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
To be here with you. And we have a brand new guest today.
As we should. And I'm excited.
Me too.
To have her with us.
She's actually local, so we're not going very far. You should hop in the car and come down here because mm-hmm. she's just, you know, a little short drive away from me.
Which is nice.
Mm-hmm. Very nice.
But I have met her before.
Yes, we have. Yeah. That infamous blogging conference.
Of many.
Up in the mountains.
Yes, which mm-hmm. I miss dearly.
That's true. Yeah. So excited. I'm so excited. Oh, my gosh.
So who is our guest?
Well, our guest is Taji Marie, and her blog is Trust Your Gut. She also does a whole lot of other things that I'm going to save for the interview, but she's fascinating.
And famous.
And famous, yes. Yeah. Well, she's famous because she's going to be on Food Blog Radio.
Well, that's what put her
but
over
beyond
the top.
That, yeah. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Everything else is like, you know, so unimportant.
The icing on the cake, that's all. I mean, once you're here.
You're here.
You're here.
All right, let's stop rambling and bring it on.
Let's do. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Food Blog Radio. Gary and I are here with our fabulous guest, Taji Marie from Trust Your Gut. Hi, Taji. Hi, Gary.
Hi.
Yay. Well, we are thrilled to be able to come together and get to know Taji better. Thank you, Taji, for spending part of your day with us and for letting us invade your space for a little while and learn more about you.
I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, very good. I'm going to say, because nobody else will, I'm excited.
I'm excited, too. How about good. That?
Thank you. We're going to get Sarah to say it yet, aren't we? So it's a beautiful afternoon, and Taji, tell us where you're at. Where are you located?
Well, as of right this minute, I am sitting in my house. I'm in L.A., so I live just in like the mid-Wilshire district of L.A., kind of in the heart of the city. Okay. And I have, you know, kind of multiple outlets where I do things around the city, and we can talk more about that. But this is my home base and, you know, where I do the blog and recipe testing and all that.
That's awesome.
Yeah, everybody, we are getting some Skype problems. I don't know if it's a solar flare or what's going on, but we have some Skype
issues.
Stuff. So it comes in good and goes out bad, but, you know, we're going to work right through this because that's what we do.
Yep.
I can hear you guys okay. That's awesome. Any compilation. Yeah.
That is a yeah. consolation. We're glad. Want everyone to be able to hear us because we're so excited to be here.
There she goes. All right, we got it. Now that we've wasted 15 minutes on excited.
That was the first one.
Okay.
Just want that on the record.
It is on the record. All right, Sarah, start asking questions. Let's get this baby ready.
All right, Taji. So you said that right now you're in Los Angeles. But now did you grow up in LA?
No. So I'm from Northern California. I am a Northern California girl through and through, but I grew up north of San Francisco in Sonoma County, and then moved down to LA to finish college and have been here really, really ever since with a couple of traveling stints. So I've been in LA now for, gosh, 18 years. So I kind of feel like I'm a SoCal person, but my heart's always in Northern California.
And Gary's thrilled because that's where he is.
Well, nice. My first son was born in Healdsburg.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, you know, that's wine country before it was wine country.
Yeah. I lived up on the Russian River for several months while that was happening. And, Yeah, beautiful area. I love all that area up there. So.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I love going back and visiting. I think it's really just influenced the way that I cook and who I am, because it's, you know, you can't grow up around that much good food and wine and that culture without it kind of getting into you. So I love it.
Cool. So what brought you to LA?
Well, I came to LA to finish college. I actually have a degree in journalism. Have worked in restaurants. Started working in restaurants when I was in high school as an after school job, and have always loved food and always had that in my life, but kind of figured I better get, you know, a real education, quote unquote, somewhere along the way. And I turned to the other thing that I love, which is writing. So I got a degree in journalism. I finished that down here in Northridge, and that's what kind of brought me to LA, and really have never left, fell in love with it and stayed.
Yeah, see, most people can't wait to get out of LA, right?
Yeah, I know. I remember when I was moving to LA, no one could figure out why on earth I would move to LA from Northern California. They're like, you're going to be back. But, you know, and I actually have to say, I hated LA when I first moved here. It was a very strange and bewildering place, but I made friends with it. So I like it now.
So you said you started working in restaurants when you were in high school. Is that right?
Yeah.
And then, so where are some of the places that you've worked since then? Is it Sur La Table? Is that right? Is that
right, I remember? That's right. Yeah. So I have this kind of weird chef trajectory, although I guess it's not so weird because I think a lot of people have very unconventional career paths these days. But, you know, I started, so when I was 14 as an after school job, I worked in like the local cafe in my small town, did that through high school, started college, worked in restaurants as kind of, you know, the job to get me through college kind of thing. Came to LA, finished college here, and then I moved to the Caribbean just because I was sick of school and I needed a break and I was glad to be done. And so what was going to be a 1 month, you know, stint on St. John in the Virgin Islands turned into a year. And I worked there in a restaurant. And that was kind of one of my first experiences of kind of running the kitchen and really, you know, serving. We served like 300 people a night. So that was kind of one of my big experiences in that kind of world. And then I came back to LA. I was kind of done with restaurants at that point and decided, no, thank you. I don't want that schedule anymore. And I started working at Sur La Table. It was just one of those kind of random, you know, saw the ad, seemed like a good fit. They wanted someone to help teach culinary classes and run their culinary program. I had never done either. So I thought, sure, I'll do that.
Why not?
Everything. I just am like, sure, let's try that. So, turns out it was a really good fit. I worked there for years. I loved it. I loved teaching. It was a great way to get to know LA better, get to know other instructors and chefs, and made a lot of friends with the community and teaching classes. And I really loved that. So did that for years. And then my business partner, Melanie, and I started Simple Gourmet as actually a cooking school. And then that evolved into a catering company. And so we've had that company now for, almost 14 years.
That's a long time.
It's a long time, yeah.
So where does the blogging, when did that step into play?
Well, you know, I've always been eager to start a blog. You know, I was an early blog reader and I always thought I should be blogging. Like I love to write. I develop recipes. Really, that's so much of what I do for cooking classes and for catering is create my own recipes. And I just love storytelling and it just seemed like such a good match, but I never really found the time to do it until about, I guess like 3 or maybe 4 years ago was really when I thought, okay, it's time. It's time to make it happen. So I started Trust Your Gut. And then last year took a little break from it because I had kind of a lot of balls in the air, just a lot of different other projects. And now I'm kind of turned back to the blog and I'm excited to kind of be putting more recipes up and doing more writing there. So yeah.
That's great. Now, Gary and I were talking earlier about how we met you, and that was at a blogging conference. I want to say 4 years ago.
We were trying to figure that out. I think you're right. I think it was maybe 4 years, because really I had just started the blog and I didn't know the first thing from anything. I was like, what's this whole blogging thing about on my WordPress, you know, account trying to figure it out. And so I had heard about Camp Blog Away, Patty's amazing blogging retreat. And I thought that would be a really good place for me to go get some, you know, intel and, kind of hear how all you guys who've been doing it for a long time have done it. So it was great. I loved going. I learned so much. And that really kind of kickstarted me into kind of getting more regular with the blog and posting and kind of figuring out some of the technological stuff. So it was great.
So what's your favorite part about blogging?
Oh God. I really love the best part to me is when I actually have the time to really sit down and kind of write what I feel like is a great little story about kind of what's going on in my life or something as it relates to that recipe and post some kind of original recipe that I'm really excited about. Like that, I love that. I love kind of digging in and doing unique, interesting things. And what's been fun too is as I've been reaching out more on Facebook and doing more social media stuff, it's fun to really have these conversations with people around these recipes. You know, someone will say, "Hey, I just made that harissa the other night. That was so good." And then I get to kind of have a conversation with them about it. And I love that because I really like engaging with people. It's kind of why I love teaching in the first place.
And you're also doing videos because you did that beautiful video about your roast chicken.
Oh, thank you. That's very kind. I'm diving into video again. I'm like, I don't know how to do this. I guess I'll try it. I feel like a baby when it comes to video, but you know, that seems to be what all the kids are doing these days, right? Is lots of videos, and it's fun. You know, I'm trying to just get over the nerves and over the part that feels so awkward and strange and just do it. Cause it's actually really fun again to post something that just feels like a really, you know, it's just a tip. It's really just the way that I do things. And it's great to see all the feedback. People get excited about it and they do it themselves, which is good. It's what I want.
Are you solo producing this yourself?
I am. And it's funny. I think we need to use the word producing very carefully because I don't know that I would call it producing so much. No, this is very bare bones operation. This is me standing at a table. I've kind of figured out where to put the table in my apartment now with the right lighting and with the right background, you know, and it's just getting filmed on an iPhone. And then I am editing it, you know, in iMovie and learning as I go, much like I did with WordPress and the blog. Yeah.
No, that's great. That's very inspiring, actually, because a lot of people are afraid to take that first step and you just proved how simplistic it can be.
Yeah, it is intimidating to be in front of a camera and be thinking, oh my gosh, did I say that right? Did I move this right? Oh, I made a mistake. Oh, you know.
Right. It is. You know, I think there are two parts. I mean, part of it just being on camera, unless you're part of that 1% who feels, you know, just instantly at ease and like you're born to do this. For all the rest of us normal people, I think it feels very strange. And so part of it is just getting over that and realizing you can always hit delete if you don't like it and start over.
That's true.
You know, and part of it is just the technological piece of learning how to take the video and how to edit it. But luckily, you know, most of these tools are pretty intuitive these days. So it's not that hard. It's pretty easy to get started.
Good for you.
Thanks.
Oh, there's going bad again.
Is that solar flare again?
Solar flare? Well, how many videos have you done so far?
Oh, just a few now since like lately. You know, back in the day. So when we were teaching, when Melanie and I started Simple Gourmet again over a decade ago, we had this idea that we would do a few videos. And it's funny, I look back at those now, and I think we were trying to be a Food Network video. You know what I mean? We were trying to like be very polished and very professional, and it came across as wildly uncomfortable and very strange. And so we thought maybe that's not such a good idea. And now as I've just jumped back in with these, I've only done, maybe 3 or 4. I just did one the other day that I'm going to post soon about salad dressings to kind of complement a little salad one that I had done a few weeks before. And so I intend to post one every couple of weeks of just really kind of bare bones, hopefully everyday tips that people can really use.
So let's skip back for just a minute to your catering business. Yeah. Now I know when I went to your website, I see all these beautiful best caterer in LA, best wedding caterer, all these fabulous awards that you've won and things that you do besides that. So share with us a little bit about that experience.
Yeah, so catering has been quite an adventure. I think anyone who does it will tell you it's backbreaking work. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. It's hard, but it's really fun. I mean, I love catering because coming from the restaurant world, I love doing something different all the time and not doing the same food every single day. So that's really fun about catering. One of the things that has happened for us is, you know, we spent years doing what I think of as kind of traditional catering, you know, weddings, dinner parties, those kinds of things. And then about 5 years ago, we got connected with some of the professional sports teams in LA and the nutritionists who basically were after better food to feed the athletes. And we started kind of in this interesting niche within LA catering. And so now we feed the LA Kings, We feed a lot, which I know you love, Sarah. You're excited. So yeah, we feed the LA Kings. We feed, we used to feed the LA Galaxy. We work with some other professional training companies. We work with other professional training companies with athletes and give them nutritionally balanced meals that they really love.
Now, do you do that every day? Is that something when they're in season that you're cooking for them every day, or is it just random? Share with us a little bit about that.
It is. It's a lot. And this is what makes it really nice from a kind of business standpoint, is it really is it's become the real backbone of our catering business. Kind of, we didn't know that it would, and it has, and it's been great because, for instance, for the LA Kings, we feed them being all of the players and the trainers and the coaches, we feed them every day that they're training at their home facility in LA. So that can be, and we feed them breakfast and lunch. So that can be 5 meals a week. It can be 12 meals a week if we're feeding them double, 2 times in a day for 6 days in a row. It depends on their travel schedule, depends on their game schedule, but we start with them before the season starts when they start training, and we go with them all the way till the end of the season. So it's, you know, it is, it's, it can often be every day and for months on end. So it's a nice thing to have as part of our business and a really fun thing for us to do, to get to be part of, you know, such a big team in LA. It's great.
Right. That's amazing.
That's amazing.
So, and when you're not, when you're, you know, done doing that, you also do, I mean, you like do everything. You're everywhere. You've got these two, is it still two? Do you still do Tipple and Ramble and Grow? So how did you get involved with those? Because that's another aspect that takes up this time that you don't have a lot of.
You are catching on a theme here of my life. It's true. There's a lot going on. So right. So we have Simple Gourmet, and really, a couple of years ago, we got it to my business partner, Melanie, and I got it to a point where it was running pretty smoothly, proud to say. And so we had some more, we had people asking us, and we also had some time to start doing some consulting with some other folks, other food companies who kind of wanted us to come in and revamp a menu or help train staff. So we've done some of that together. Through that, a couple of partnerships have come up. And so one of them is with Grow, which is, they're a family-owned grocery store that started in Manhattan Beach, and now they have a location in downtown LA. And so I came on board to help with that expansion because they expanded to have a whole full-service deli in their downtown store. So now I am kind of their consulting chef, essentially, you could call me. I've really developed their menu. I help train the staff and help keep the food kind of on course because it's great. We make, it's a scratch kitchen. We make everything from scratch. And so it's really kind of fun. I love stuff like that. I really feel like this kind of casual way of eating is the way people want to eat these days. And I love just doing really good versions of that. So, you know, it's kind of a traditional deli, but with really good food.
Taji, tell me a little bit about your culinary background, because you are a chef and you have a degree in journalism. So how did you do both?
How did that all come about? Yeah. Well, again, I mean, I have, from the food side of it, I call myself kind of a reluctant chef insofar as I didn't go to culinary school. I didn't have the kind of traditional trajectory that a lot of chefs do. So I think I've always been a little hesitant to call myself a chef, but then other people started calling me chef. So I said, okay, I guess, you know, I've been feeding people professionally for like 20 years. I guess I should probably call myself a chef now. But I've worked in restaurants when I was younger, and it comes very naturally to me, cooking, and kind of where the blog came from, the idea of trust your gut is really kind of my philosophy around cooking and around food and really life, is kind of trusting your instinct. And I think it's because that's kind of how I learned to cook. You know, I learned from watching other people, certainly, but also just kind of finding my way, and then have done it a lot professionally and learned as I went. You know, and then the journalism and the writing piece, again, the writing's always kind of been just this thing that I love. And so I just always knew I wanted to do something in writing. And now the blog's kind of been a way to bring those two things together, which I think is always what I thought I would do. And I'm just finally really getting around to doing it.
So what advice would you have for somebody that is choosing a path in culinary arts, if you will?
Mm-hmm. I get this question a lot, actually, in real life. I have many people ask me my advice about this. Here's what I tell them. I say, before you go to culinary school, go work in a restaurant and or work in a catering company for 6 months and see if you really like it at the end of it. First things first. Like, I think a lot of people think that, you know, they really like food and they think, well, that seems like such a logical progression, is I really enjoy food. I enjoy eating. I enjoy cooking for my family or what have you. And so then I'm going to go to culinary school. And I don't know that that's always the best idea. I think that, you know, it's good to get some real life experience first. And then if you find that restaurants in particular, you know, is where you want to be and you love that kind of fast pace and that life, then I think go to culinary school, because I think it's important to have the backbone if you're going to work in a restaurant. However, you know, there's this really varied culinary career industry out there now, right? I mean, especially in Los Angeles, there's all kinds of food styling and food writing and, you know, culinary producing and just all kinds of strange things that you can be doing around food that don't necessarily require a degree. So if you're going to work in restaurants, you need to have your fundamentals really solid. But if not, I think you have some room to go and explore. But either way, get some real life experience first. That's my goal. That's my advice.
That old advice of go peel a few thousand potatoes to see if you like being a chef. It really does make a difference.
It's really true. I mean, because I think... Yeah, it can, everyone can kind of wants to be a rock star chef, you know, and has a really rosy idea of what that life is. And there's a lot of cases of potatoes between you and that rock star chef. So you gotta do that and see if you're cut out for it. And not everybody is.
You have I'm not even sure what the big fancy word for it is, but you know, you're a TV star.
Well, let's not go too crazy.
Let's just lay it out there on the line the way it is. I mean, you have some serious notoriety on a show. Why don't you tell us about that?
Yes. Well, that's true. The secret's out. I am, in fact, a Chopped champion. I won on Chopped a couple of years ago, actually. So that was my claim to fame. That is my claim to fame, is that I was on Chopped and I won, which surprised me, I think, as much as surprised anybody. I couldn't believe it.
Well, we're not surprised, but we are impressed.
And not everybody has the ability to say that. You can say, yeah, I'm a Chopped champion. Does that feel good?
It feels good. You know, it's one of those things. To be honest, it was a great experience. I didn't really know what to expect going in. And I think that was for the best, because I just went in and thought, okay, here we go. Let's see what's going to happen. And it really is what you see is what you get, which is not always the case on a lot of TV shows. You know, in other words, we really did have the basket. We did not know what was inside. We open it, we start cooking immediately, and the timer goes off. Like, there's no kind of, you know, with the camera off, some other shenanigans going on. That was not the case. So, you know, during it, you're just in such a whirlwind state. I mean, I don't even remember some of the things I did, because you're just moving so quickly and just kind of talk about trusting your gut. You're so just like flying by the seat of your pants and trusting your instinct. And so only really months later, I think, was I able to say, oh, hey, I won that show. That's pretty cool.
I've always wanted to know, is it all shot in one day?
Yes. So it is. And honestly, that was one of the most challenging parts about being on the show, was that it's just one very long day, which really, if you win, amounts to about a 15-hour day, which is very, very long. So it's shot in New York. So I flew out to New York, got there in like the afternoon, and then had to be, you know, on set the next morning a little bit before 5 a.m. So you get in, you roll in, you know, the crack of dawn, you're jet lagged. Nothing's really making any sense. And then you're there all day. And, you know, again, the cooking is what you see is what you get. In other words, it's 20 minutes, it's 30 minutes of cooking, but there's so much time in between that you're waiting for them to reset the kitchen, or you're waiting to have your moment with the judges and all of that. So it amounts to a lot of sitting around and a lot of just trying not to drive yourself crazy with the stress and adrenaline. And then finally, at the end of it, the crazy thing is, you know, it shoots the whole way through. At the end, it's all of a sudden you're like, oh my God, I just won. That's amazing. And then they take you to another room, they sit you down, and then they do interviews with you for the whole day. So you go back and you talk over every single thing you cooked all day long. So that's like another hour of just sitting there talking about what you made, which is kind of, again, I don't even remember what I said during that hour. I have no recollection really of what that conversation was like. But the kind of staying power of getting through that day was probably the hardest part. Harder than the cooking by a long shot.
But you did it and you won.
I did it and I won. It's true.
So you've been a chop, you are a chop champion. You have this catering company and you work with other companies and help as a, you know, consulting chef. And you have this beautiful blog. Did I already say that? I don't know. My head just went, pshht. But you have yet another project coming up. You're doing a pop-up dinner.
Yes. So
so now I want to know all about that.
My spare time. I also, right. No, you know, so yes, I have a pop-up dinner coming in LA on Sunday, May 22nd. And these pop-up dinners, I've done them before. I do them, I've maybe done a handful over the past, again, like 3 years. It's something that I do one or two a year, not very often. And frankly, I just do them because they're a lot of fun, because I really miss, there's a piece of me that does miss that kind of restaurant life where you get to like have your friends come into your place and you make them some great food and you meet new people and you talk to them at the table and you're feeding people. And, you know, that's so different than what we do with catering. So I really kind of miss that. And this was a way, these pop-up dinners were a way for me to just dabble in that without committing to having a restaurant, which I really don't want to have at all for the record. So the pop-up dinners are really fun. And we go, I've gone into really kind of strange spaces. I have a friend who has a really beautiful art gallery. So I've gone into the gallery and set up tables and done like kind of a dinner party format. This time it's actually at a little wine bar on La Brea called Wild. And it's just this really sweet little wine bar and restaurant. So we're going to run it like a regular restaurant for a night. We're going to kind of take over the kitchen, take reservations, people come in, and I've put together a really fun kind of prefix menu for the night. So I'm excited about it. It's one of my favorite things that I do, and I'm sad I don't do it more often. But
so with your pop-up, would that be something that you would consider like adding some of those menus to your blog?
Yes, that's a great question. And that is one of the things that I'm trying to be better about with the blog. And I'm kind of embracing that. You know, again, last year I kind of took some time off because I had all these projects going on. And then I had kind of an epiphany this year thinking, why am I not writing about this on the blog? I should be writing about these things I'm doing. I should be sharing recipes that I'm getting from these different events. And so to your point, that's exactly what I'm going to do. So I have a menu of all kinds of fun stuff. I'm going to definitely be posting some pictures from the pop-up and also a couple of recipes from the things that we make that night. Absolutely. You know, again, not everybody can come, obviously, to the pop-up. Not everybody's in LA. So it's a fun way to share that experience and those recipes with other folks.
And you're such a wonderful storyteller. I think people would really be interested in, you know, learning more about what you do and how you do it, and then be able to say, ooh, and look, here's a recipe she made and I'm going to make it too.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, that's the goal for sure. So yeah, I think one of the things I'm making at the pop-up that I was having a lot of fun recipe testing recently, I think needs to go on the blog. It's these cream puffs that have a sesame salted caramel on top. And then instead of a whipped cream, it's kind of like a whipped sweetened yogurt that goes in the middle. So it's kind of almost like the whole menu really is like a Middle Eastern kind of theme. And those cream puffs turned out really good. So I think those need to go on the blog. For sure.
I think they do. I think Gary and I need to be recipe tasters for you.
Okay. I like it. You're on.
We'll be right over.
Okay. It sounds delicious. Hey, Taji, take a second to tell us about recipe development, because I think that people could use a little insight on how to go about that process.
Yeah, you know, recipe development is something, I know I keep saying so many different things are my favorite thing I do. And now I was just about to say, I think recipe development is the favorite thing I do. This is what happens though when you are doing what you love, right? It's like you actually kind of are excited about all the stuff you do. No, you know, recipe development is very fun for me because it's a very creative process for me. So for me, the way it works is I'll have, for instance, this pop-up dinner, or I'll have a particular party coming up with catering, or maybe the Kings need a different kind of nutritionally balanced meal. And so I kind of take those needs and then I, you know, look to other sources to get inspired. You know, I have like 200 cookbooks that I just kind of look through for images and inspiration. Sometimes I'm out and I get inspired by something at the farmer's market or something I see in a restaurant. And then I kind of take all that into my kitchen and I tinker until I come up with something that I think really hits the mark. But of course, that's really just the beginning when it comes to recipe development, is coming up with that great idea and making it and saying, okay, this tastes great. Then you have to back it out and actually write a recipe that works. And I think that's the piece that can often be missing, unfortunately, both in, you know, sometimes in cookbooks or blogs or what have you, is that you really have to, I think, do your homework and kind of back up and make sure that you're giving people a recipe that's going to give them that same experience, you know, when they try to make it at home, because otherwise it's so disappointing, right? It's disappointing to go out and spend the money on those ingredients and the time to make something and it not turn out. So what I do is I kind of have the inspiration, make the dish, sketch out a recipe that I think works. And, you know, I've written a lot of recipes over time, so I usually can kind of sketch out something that's pretty solid and then go back and test it again. And maybe test it again. And, you know, depending on the nature of the recipe, it gets tested a number of times. In some cases, I have other friends or coworkers make it as well. And again, because of the nature of my work, I also tend to be making these things, you know, again, at the catering company or in Gro's Kitchen or, you know, so they've been made in other environments too. So I've usually worked with these recipes a number of times before I really kind of publish them, you know, on the blog or before I kind of put the seal of approval on them for the catering company.
Well, it looks like we are running towards the end of our podcast time allotment, Taji. Why don't you take a couple seconds or minutes, however long it takes, to tell everybody where they can find you and include the name of your YouTube channel, because I think we glossed right over that.
Oh, yeah. You know, the YouTube channel is kind of new. That's, again, the video thing is really the newest in the in my arsenal of stuff lately, because which is to say, I don't know much about it, but yes, I do. So let me start from the beginning. So you can find me a couple of places online. My website is tajimarie.com. That's really easy. There's a link to my blog there, or you can go to trustyourgut.com and find a link back to the website. So those are kind of interchangeable. My Facebook page is Chef Taji Marie, and that's often where I first post videos and where I post all the information about upcoming events and things. I'm also on Instagram at Chef Taji Marie, and I have a lot of fun posting photos there. And then, yes, I'm on YouTube under Taji Marie as well. And I have started, you know, posting all of my videos in one place there so that you can kind of subscribe to that channel and then you can get updates from there as well.
So that is a lot of great places to reach you. Are you on Twitter as well?
I am, and I should have left that out. So yes, I'm also at Twitter at Taji Marie.
So anywhere they can find you. And we will list all this, of course, on our blog post when your interview goes live. We, like I said, we are wrapping up. Is there anything, what's the future quickly for you? Any more new balls to put in the air?
Actually, yes, of course. There's always another ball added in. Just when I think I've got the juggling perfect, there's like a new ball that comes in. I'm actually working on a cookbook finally with somebody. And this is something I've really always wanted to work on cookbooks, and I see a future where I hopefully get to do more of that. But I'm working with another chef. Her name is Amber Cottle, and she has a restaurant called The Source Cafe in Hermosa Beach. It's a really, really sweet kind of healthy foods cafe. And so I'm working with her on a cookbook proposal with the hopes that we will write this cookbook together. And in fact, we're doing a cooking class in a couple of weeks all about kind of nourishing yourself with superfoods and healthy eating, but really flavorful stuff. And so it's been really fun to work with her on this book. I hope that we do more together because it's really great.
Well, thank you, Taji. It's been a pleasure.
It's been such a pleasure. Thank you.
All right. Well, hopefully we will be able to attend your pop-up someday.
I hope so. I hope so.
Yeah. All right. We're out of here. Thank you. Take care.
All right. Thanks, Taji. Bye.
Bye-bye.
And it doesn't sound like we're having solar flares at this particular moment.
Well, that's good. Maybe we can, you know, wrap up and not sound like we're talking from the bottom of a well.
As everybody's saying, wrap up and shut up, Gary.
No, no one is saying that.
Oh, okay. All right. Well,
except me. No.
Thank you, Sarah.
I'm kidding. You know I'm
throwing
kidding.
Daggers through the internet.
No.
Taji is awesome.
She's amazing. She has so many different things going on, and her life is just full, full, full.
Well, since I last saw her, you know, she was just a little pre-blogging whippersnapper, and now she has accolades and fame and stardom and an itinerary, I might say a daily itinerary that is just ridiculous.
Yeah, and it changes all the time. But she just seems to love everything that she does, and is just going full blah 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 blah.
It does
okay,
that.
She just seems to love everything she does, and is going full force with you know, what any new idea that comes to mind. And I love her energy.
Well, you know, we talk about this all the time with little kids, if we could just bottle up their energy. But I would just love to bottle up Tashi's energy and have a little dose of that, a little hit of it every day. I'd be just fine.
She is amazing. And I know that pop-up's going to be great. And, you know, looking forward to seeing more on her blog. And gosh, just following new videos and everything else that she's got coming out. Yeah. It'll be great.
It will be. So very cool. All right. Well, let's get out of here. And hopefully everybody will share the love of Food Blog Radio with all their friends. And, you know, we still, to this date, have not received a rating on iTunes.
You're kidding. Well, yeah. If anybody feels so inclined, please go and let everyone know what they think of our podcast.
Yeah. And 10 stars would be just fine. Thank you very much.
That would be great.
Okay. Well, we're out of here. And
we are.
Take care. Be good. Take care of your heart. And we'll talk to you next time.
We will see you soon. Bye, everyone.
Bye.